sports opinion. With chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion. With chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? That shit was dramatic as fuck, man. Dramatic as fuck. But, yo, this is episode 76 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm here with the homie, Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
It feels good, man. It feels good to be on here. Yes, yeah, it does.
It's been a month, man. You know, people looking like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with these niggas, man? These niggas can't put out a show, man. What the fuck is going on, man? The last time we talked to these niggas, it was a month before the end. Like, what the hell are they doing? You know? So, like,
life. Life. You know, life happens.
It ain't even just life, but, like, now I don't even know if we got the excuse of, like, there not being any sports. Because, like, it seems like sports is happening all over the place now, despite this motherfucking pandemic. So we're going to be talking about some football, some baseball, some basketball. Like, it's like everything back to normal, baby. Like,
we got the team back.
We got everything back, man. See, like, everything is back, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about it. But before we do all of that, of course, we got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast. Let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline in area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show. And if you're watching this live here on YouTube, Periscope, and Facebook Live, you can chop it up with us here right here on the show, live as we do it. So hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and of course we'll reply to those emails here live on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, and they can follow you where, Cliff? Nigga.
DJ Neff Music. Twitter and Instagram. DJ Neff Music. Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, you do know that they can see you checking your teeth, right? Like, the niggas on... Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, man. If he's on the Twitters and the shit, you know, because that's what we do. But, also...
Haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate.
Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. But, yo, man, what's going on with you?
Real quick.
Yeah.
Special shout out. Special shout out to Jim Harbaugh. This will be his first year. He won't be losing Ohio State. Shout out to the homie Jim. All right. Only because they ain't playing him. Just saying, Jim, you my man, but shout out, man. You ain't got to deal with it this year.
This nigga, man.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, though?
Fuck you is what I was ready to say, nigga. Fuck you, man.
Oh, man. It's good to have the band back.
I'm just going to say that, man. I don't need these shenanigans right now, man. I just don't need your shit today, man.
Factual information. This is not opinionated. That's not an opinion. Yeah, it's not an opinion. Whatever, this was more of a fact. Whatever, it's more of a fact.
Whatever, nigga. They were just postponing the.
If I'm lying,
Ohio State, man. They were just gonna postpone that ass whooping that was coming. That's all. That's all it was. Ohio State.
Just saying what? I was just gonna give you a gauze for the wound. You know that it keep getting bigger and bigger.
Whatever.
That's
nigga.
All.
Yo, man, I was getting to ask you how the fuck you been doing, man. But fuck you, dog. Like, you come out busting shots, nigga. Like, damn, man. Like, hey, man, we ain't did no show in a while, man. Do a little catching up, get the people, you know, back in the thick of shit. And here you go, you know. But you know what? Par for the course. That's how we do it here. That's how we do it here. But for real,
typically throwing shots is like an opinion. Once again, I was just. Talking about what has happened in the past consistently. That's all. It was nothing towards you. Don't take it personal. Okay?
Hey, man.
Wakanda.
I'm going to just say this. Here. Hey, you know, man, shout out to Chadwick Boseman, man. That's why we're rocking out with the Wakanda today, man.
Shout out to Chadwick Boseman, man. Rest real shit. Brother, man. Real talk.
But how you been, man?
Yeah.
Like, other than that bullshit talk. Coming out your mouth, man, how you been?
You know what, man? It is absolutely gorgeous outside right now, so I can't complain. Yeah. And hey, man, you know, I ain't got nothing to complain about. So, how about you, man?
Well, I'm sitting over here. I got like three. I'm wondering if this is a good idea because I got three different brews here, right? So I got I got the peanut butter porter that I was telling you about before, man. This shit here is delicious. I've had this before. This shit is delicious. So I was going to swig on some of this.
Does it actually taste like peanut butter?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tastes like peanut butter.
Now, so what brewery is it from?
This is from Saugatuck Brewing Company. I've actually had their, they got like a blueberry lemonade shandy that's pretty good too. And I was just admiring, man. I decided, I'm like, you know, let me see what this is about. Because it says smooth and creamy on the can. And like, I had got an orange whip, which is supposed to be like a orange, like milkshake sort of beer. But I didn't really get no creamy. I didn't get it like any creamy vibes from that one whatsoever. So I was kind of skeptical. But like, yo, man, this shit here, this is good.
Nice. Well, I got my pure 100% filtered water.
Okay, that's cool too. That's cool.
Ain't getting no beer.
That's cool too. But check it. I also got this Haze and Blue joint. I haven't tasted this yet. I just cracked this. I just cracked it. Haven't tasted it yet. This is from Big Lake Brewing Company. It's from Holland, Michigan. So it's like a local brewery.
Okay.
I haven't checked. Right now I still got the peanut butter taste in my mouth. So I'm gonna let that subside a little bit. But then of course I got the tried and true, the Stella. Thing is, I'm just like, man, how are these gonna like coincide with one another as we do the show, man? Because I'm still tasting the peanut butter joint right now. It's been about a minute since, you know, I'm just going ahead and get some more.
Well, more of an issue, you opened all the beers. should have waited.
What am I waiting for? I mean, shit, they going to get swigged on as we do the show. What the fuck am I waiting on? Don't nobody wants to hear me cracking open beers while we on the mic, Cliff. Don't nobody want to hear that shit. Nobody want to hear that shit, man. It's bad for the sound. It's bad for the sound.
I would.
You know what?
You must like room temperature beer. You like room temperature beer, don't you? You look like you do.
You think that taking the cap off or opening the beer is going to keep it from being room temperature, motherfucker? Like, if it's going to be room temperature,
I would keep it in the fridge.
Nah, man, they going to get drunk while we do the show, bro. I ain't going to keep getting up to go to the fridge to go get another brew, man. That just ain't what's going to happen. But we got some sports shit to talk about, man. We got a lot of sports shit to talk about.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you get this shit kicked off, man. What you got for us this week?
Let's do it, man. Here, I got a couple of things before we get into the big stuff. You know, one of my guys asked me yesterday, since Tom Brady is at Tampa, am I still going to root for New England? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer to that question is yes and yes. First of all, I know we spoke about this. Funny enough that we could even say this for the past few years on the show. I love Cam Newton. I am a Cam Newton fan. You are a Panthers fan. Well, now Cam Newton is on New England. Will you root? Don't even answer the question. But yes, I am rooting for Tom Brady and I'm rooting for Cam. So yes, I'm rooting for both teams, but he just texted me. So at the end of the day, I am still rooting for Tom Brady. I love Cam, so I'm rooting for the Patriots. I hope Cam Newton goes over there and destroys them. ESPN.com, it says Cam Newton calls his fit with Patriots a match made in heaven. My man. Start to say quarterback Cam Newton called his fit with New England Patriots a match made in heaven as he prepares to lead the team in its opener with Miami. Honestly, it's been an overwhelming time that I have just been able to grasp it from a whole totally different standpoint. And he says, I was in Carolina and had given everything to the organization I possibly could. I will always have a place in my heart for Carolina, but as a professional, you go where you're summoned to go and what's best for you in your career. Just as it would be the best fit for the organization, I've been loving myself and loving this opportunity I've had coming into this position. Bill Belichick told players that Newton would be the team's starting quarterback. Newton's also voted one of the eight captains by players and coaches. Before signing with the Patriots on July 8th, Newton acknowledged that he didn't know what to expect when it came to how he fit into New England. This goes deeper and deeper and deeper about a whole bunch of other stuff about how Cam feels about New England, how he looks at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and everything that they've done in the past 20 years, which is crazy to say. So my take, and I've always said this, that Cam Newton to me is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, just was with the wrong organization, period. He got the MVP in 2015, took them all the way. They lost, had some situations with injuries, et cetera. I think right now, and of course, people always say Brady was only good because he was in the system. Well, Bill Belichick is the best coach of all time. All right. So now Cam is within that bubble. And if you ask me, I think Cam Newton is about to slam jam. Thank you, ma'am. All right. And get what's due coming his way. All right. I know you hate the Patriots, and all that other stuff, but my question to you is, do you think Cam is just going to continue washing dishes, or do you think he's going to excel the fact that he's under Bill Belichick's radar now?
All right. So I'm going to just go on. I'm going to just go out here and say this. I'm a Cam Newton fan. I am. I hope Cam Newton plays well. I really do. I believe that the reason why Cam Newton wasn't playing well was because Cam Newton was dealing with injuries. Bottom line, Cam Newton just
period.
Bottom line, that was the reason why Cam Newton had, like, you saw the production drop in his level of play. I believe that Cam Newton is going to play well this season. I know they're being coy about who's going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots this year. I don't know why they're being coy about it.
They already named him.
They
already named him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know they named him a captain, and they, like, when they came out naming him a captain, people assumed that, like, Cam Newton was going to be starting quarterback. And I know Bill Belichick came out to, like, kind of shut that down earlier in the week because of the captain announcements or whatever. But he was saying, like, he hadn't made any decisions as to who was going to be the starters for anything. But be that as it may, I want Cam to do well. I don't want the Patriots to do well, though. I just don't, man. It's like it's fucked up, man. Like, it's fucked up. It's just like, and I'm gonna tell you the reason why. This is my thing, man. It's like, you can have favorite players, and then they can go to a team that you do not fucking like. And, like, I'm just not one of those guys who's like, well, I guess I gotta root for these motherfuckers now. Cause I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna be like, damn, man, he went to the wrong fucking team. Same thing.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah. If Michael Jordan would have went to the Pistons, would you have rooted for him?
I'd have been sick. Ain't no way in hell you gonna get me watching. I'd have been sick, dog. It couldn't happen, nigga. You remember how them young boys, like, they was burning their LeBron jerseys, man. I don't know if I'd ever bought another Jordan retro again, man. I think I'd have got rid of all of that shit if he'd went to the Pistons, bro. Like, I always thought it was weird to, like, see Pistons players rocking Jordans, man. That's just how deep it goes with me, man. Like, I just, like, this, I couldn't do it, man. It's a mental block, bro. It's a mental block. This is like if Frank Thomas went to go play for the Cubs. You're like, man, what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, why would he do that?
First of all, I like Frank. Frank was, like, the best player y'all ever had. The Hurt was period. Ever.
Oh, man.
That's it. He would have got mad love coming to the Cubs.
I know he would have got love. I'm saying, for me, I'm only speaking for me right now. If Frank Thomas had gone to the Cubs, I'd be sick. I'd be salty. Like, man, let's look at this shit here, man. I couldn't. I don't even know if I could still be, like, you know, I'd probably still be a fan. I couldn't really rock with the team that he with. I couldn't buy a jersey. I couldn't buy any, like, team colorways and shit like that. I just couldn't do it, man. It's just me. I don't know why I'm like that. I just couldn't do it. Stacy in the chat room talking about, don't be a hater. Bill is a diabolical genius. Hey, man, listen.
Facts.
Be that as it may, all I'm saying is I hope Cam Newton plays well. I think Cam Newton has a good possibility of being a comeback player of the year this year. Bottom line, I'm just not necessarily rooting for the Patriots as a team to do well. I want Cam to do well, but as a team, I want them to be like, you know, 7-9. You know what I'm saying? Cam out there balling, but they 7-9. I know it's irrational. It's just me, man. I can't do it. I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
I think it's the Sox fan in you that doesn't. You're not able to release and enjoy life as a decent human being. That's all. I get it though. I'm used to you guys.
I mean, the Cubs fan of you was so used to losing for so long. You don't have any choice but to have a sunny disposition about anything. So I get it too. I get it too. I'm used to y'all too. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to you too. Aaron's in the chat room said the whole defense opted out, so you might be on to something. Hey man, we gonna see, man. We gonna see. Cause I'm gonna tell you this right now. I'm gonna tell you this right now before we move on from this. Like, the idea that we're gonna have football this season, like the NFL is just like saying, fuck it, we gonna do this, even though we're not gonna have any fans in the stands and all this other shit. The idea that the NFL is like, yeah, we having football this year. Like, I'm like, man, we really are out here acting like it ain't a fucking global pandemic going on right now. Like, we really doing this, man. Like, people was having like, shout out to my homies over at the Shoot from the Hip podcast, man. I was in their fantasy football league last year. Chance I'm probably be doing the fantasy football league with them again this year too. But yo, man, when I seen the email about the fantasy football draft and shit, I'm like, wait, we really doing this? Like, this is a thing? Like, we really are going to go with the fantasy football. We do like the whole thing. Like the ball is continuing to roll. Like, there isn't a pandemic going on. It's crazy to me. The fact that we having football this year is crazy to me. The fact that like there are parents of like the Big Ten parents and shit who are pissed off that the Big Ten decided they was going to postpone the season this year is crazy to me. Like, all of this shit, real talk, just like, are people just not taking heed to what's happening around us? I know we want to get back to some level of normalcy and shit and get back to how the things used to be, but come on, man. Like, come on. I'm just kind of flabbergasted by the whole thing. What do you think?
Just stick to the fucking subject, okay? We talk about Cam Newton in New England.
I'm sticking to the subject. COVID, you know, I'm sticking to the subject because we're still talking football. We're still talking about how the season is going to go. We're still talking that shit. I'm just saying, with all of these other things that are going on, the fact that we're even contemplating how well the Patriots, how well Cam Newton is going to play, despite all this other shit happening. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of weird to me that we even contemplate.
Just admit the fact that you're throwing a lot of salt on Cam and his success possibly with the Patriots. That's what it really is. Divert the attention out from you. You know what I'm saying?
I already said I want Cam to do well. It's just fuck the Patriots. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Cam, you're a dude. I love his game. I want him to have a great season. But fuck the Patriots, bro. That's just what it is. I'm gonna tell you what year it was when I officially said fuck the Patriots, man. You wanna know when it was? When the Patriots and the Panthers played in the Super Bowl, and and I swear to God, man, no, there wasn't no spanking, nigga. They cheated like a motherfucker for them goddamn Patriots. Like, ain't no way the motherfucker Panthers are supposed to lose that Super Bowl, B. I'm like, man, this some bullshit, bro. And ever since then, I ain't had no love for the motherfucking Patriots, bro.
Tom was like, give me some baby powder. Give me some baby powder.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, nigga. People forget Big Frank could have been tight end. Yeah, Big Frank was.
I can talk about that all day.
All right, man. Whatever. But
what you got, man?
I got a few stories.
I know we got
man.
A big subject.
We got a few stories.
Me too. But what's the small shit?
So first things first, man. I just kind of want to talk about the NBA bubble, man. I want to admit your man Span was wrong. Yeah, man.
Was that sound supposed to be surprising that you were incorrect about the shit? I mean, am I supposed to be like, oh my God, you were wrong?
I was wrong about some shit, man. I mean, real talk.
You shouldn't have been talking shit.
That's how the NBA is treating your boy Span right now, man. Because, like, yo, The NBA.
So what was you wrong about?
I was wrong about the fact that I didn't think the NBA should have even attempted to try to bring the NBA back this season. I was wrong in that. Like,
why?
The reason why was because of like the risk that was associated with the coronavirus. Again, like I was talking about with the football season, like the fact that we were even contemplating having a football season at all this year with the NFL, and the fact that there's so many people who are adamantly upset about like college football conferences deciding that they're not going to play or postponing the season for a little bit, maybe thinking about doing it in the springtime. Like when the NBA was talking about doing the bubble and making guys go to the bubble, and like, you know, certain teams weren't going to be even be invited to the bubble, rightfully so, because they weren't playing for nothing. But the idea that they were like, you know, yo, we're going to have all the guys come down to Orlando. We're going to cordon everything off. We're going to test them every day. We're going to do this, that, and the other. I really just felt like at the beginning of this that they shouldn't have even attempted this. I was just like, yo, man, the risks are too high. There's so much about this virus that we don't know about at the time. The fact that they've been able to not only play so many of these games, and the fact that they've been, you know, able to play these games and not have any positive coronavirus cases in the bubble, man, I'm impressed by that. Like, especially considering this is one of the sports that we thought, at least I know I did, when we were talking about this prior to, that, like, yo, if they were going to have a sport that couldn't, you know, necessarily be play, it was basketball, because there is no such thing as social distancing in basketball. You're always up on somebody in basketball. And then to juxtapose that with how we thought that baseball would be a sport that you could play, because they're really, you know, the guys aren't really all that close together much. You know, there's not a whole lot of physical contact in baseball. And to see that there were so many cases of coronavirus pop up in baseball to the point where, like, the Miami, I believe the Miami Marlins, like, they had a lot of games postponed and stuff like that because of it. Like, yeah, man, I'm just saying, like, I was wrong. Like, yo, the NBA has shown that, like, it's possible that not only could you play these games, but given the proper parameters, that you could play these games well and present a pretty good product. Because, you know, even though they're all playing on the same court and they're having like the digitally altered home court advantage with the fans like on the screens in the back, and like, you know, they're digitally imposing the team's logos and stuff like that on the court, and the artificial fan noise and stuff, like, truthfully speaking, it's not much different than watching the games prior to COVID-19, to me anyway. How do you feel about it? Because I see you turning your face up. How do you feel about it, though?
It's definitely different. What do you mean?
I don't feel like the actual product on the floor is different, Cliff. Not at all. I feel like the games are being played as well as they have had they not been like quarantined off.
I still think it's different. There's definitely a different energy when you go and play at someone else's home court. The fact that everybody's playing on the same court, there's like a level of equilibrium. You know, there's no real threat to a degree. I'll also say too, when I know we spoke on the fact with all sports. I know me and you both were, you know, we're talking about the same thing, how sports should not come back because of Corona, and they don't know how stuff is going to play out. The fact that the NBA doesn't have any positive corona cases since the bubble started, I just don't know that they just have had total control. Baseball teams definitely played in their own stadiums and stuff like that. Like, even with the Florida Marlins, the St. Louis Cardinals, they got like 11 doubleheaders, like something insane. I mean, it's insane. Who knows what attested to those teams having an outbreak? And why the NBA hasn't had one. You know, I don't know.
We know.
They
were going out to strip clubs, baby. That's what happened. You didn't hear about that?
Lou Williams went to the strip club.
Even with Lou Williams going to the strip club, what did they do? When they found out that Lou Williams went to the strip club, they quarantined that motherfucker off for 14 days. He couldn't come straight back to the bubble. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing. Like, the NBA has shown that they've got a lot more control over who has access to the bubble, who can get in, who can get access to their teams, as opposed to the Major League Baseball, where, of course, like Major League Baseball, the players have so much more power. Like, that's a powerful union that they have. And when they were talking about the parameters as to how to come back for Major League Baseball, the players themselves were saying, "Nah, we're not going in no motherfucking bubble. That's not what we're doing." And then you have cases of like the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals having outbreaks of fucking COVID-19. And, you know, it kind of shows like, okay, so now we got to figure out how to work around these dudes trying to exercise their freedom, but at the same time, put out a quality product. And so I think the NBA has handled this as best as anybody as far as a professional sports league. I think the NHL playoffs have been going on too. They've been playing pretty well, but nobody really pays attention to the NHL like that. But like they've been playing their games, playing playoff games and things like that, and they've had a pretty good run of it too. So I'm just saying like, you know, I was wrong in the idea that this couldn't happen. You know what I'm saying? I was wrong in that. And they've shown that this is something that is possible given the proper parameters and given the proper limitations.
Well, I mean, this is new for everybody. Not to say that everybody was going to follow the rules, regardless of the sport. When it comes to like the collegiate level, you know, I don't know how that's going to be managed. And you were saying something about, you know, the difference between baseball and basketball, and there's no like real human-to-human contact. I totally disagree. It's more baseball players on a team than it is basketball players. And there's definitely a lot of human-to-human contact, maybe not as much on the field, but in the dugout, in the locker room, all that stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. It's still there. That's what I'm talking about. The actual playing of the game, there's not a whole lot of physical contact in the game of playing baseball. Whereas in the NBA, you're always up against somebody. Like you're always within a foot of somebody else, breathing all over you, sweating all over you, and everything else. That's what I'm talking about. Like as far as them being in the dugout, those things can be mitigated. You can make a motherfucker not sit. You can make a motherfucker not sit 6 feet, you know, close to you, bro. Yeah, I see this.
Stacey said, "I watch hockey." Boy, you a fool, man.
I ain't watched a hockey game since the Red Wings started sucking, man. Last time I watched a hockey game was when the Red Wings was good. That's it.
Well, you know, when the Blackhawks won them three Stanley Cups, I watched it, and that was my extent. But no, I really hope that whatever they're doing that's working with basketball, with whatever they're doing in baseball now, and prayerfully whatever happens in the NFL, when they apply – you know, these protocols to the, colleges, these are young men who are definitely, you know, wilding out there. So I hope they can follow the same guidelines, man, and hopefully everybody stays safe. So I had one good one talking about football. my man, 100 grand, Adrian Peterson, the fact that the dude is still playing football, big shout out. Just got picked up by who? None of the other but your people, the Lions. It says Adrian Peterson is signing with the Detroit Lions. You should be excited because y'all trash, all right? So I'm actually giving you some love right now. Trash love. But it says Peterson is signed a 1 year worth $1 million. You scroll down. It says the move reunites Peterson with his former offensive coordinator from Minnesota Vikings, Daryl Bevel, and adds an already crowded Lions backfield that includes Johnson, last year's starter, and 2020 second round pick DeAndre Swift. They give me an opportunity to play Peterson, who's 35. I know Coach Bevel from my days in Minnesota. Ultimately, I feel comfortable going there and helping them get better. Peterson's move to Detroit comes days after Washington released him in favor of younger running backs. Now Peterson enters a room where four backs are much younger than him. After his release, Peterson told ESPN's John King that he was surprised by Washington's decision and without a doubt wanted to continue playing. When Peterson was with the Vikings, I thought, honestly, that he was going to be like the next big boy for real, like busting all types of numbers. When he blew his knee out or his ACL, MCL, whatever that was. Everybody thought it was over for him, which, you know, I did too. I ain't gonna lie. I met Adrian Peterson when the Bears went to the Super Bowl in 2007. I didn't know that Adrian Peterson was like 6'5", like 250. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude is a monster, like straight up. Just nice at heart. And I'm glad he's still healthy to be 35 and a quarterback. yo, big up to my man Adrian. I think if he still got gas in the tank, he can definitely make some type of difference, especially on the Lions. He might be a motherfucking Pro Bowler coming to the Lions shit. But at the end of the day, he's bringing value to you, man. You should be smiling right now. I'm going to buy you an Adrian Peterson jersey so you can wear it to appreciate what he's doing for you and your family, all right, and your friends and all your people in Detroit. You understand?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no wonder you get D's and everything.
Hey, man, I'm going to just tell you this right now. This has just confirmed that Adrian Peterson's motherfucking career is over, dog. The Lions signing Adrian Peterson has confirmed that dude ain't got shit left, man. He ain't got shit left. The fact that he thought he was surprised that the team in Washington, because they not the name no more. The team in Washington, the Washington football team.
The football team, yeah.
So the fact that the Washington football team dropped him, surprisingly to him, right? Like, he's a 35-year-old running back, G. Like, he ain't got no more, man. And I feel like the fact that the Lions went out and got him, this is like what it means to be like a Lions fan. That like, we get these names, but we get these names when they ain't got shit left in the tank. And so, like, the fact that when you sent me this link, I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm like, wait, what? They did what? The Lions signed Adrian Peterson? I didn't believe it. Like, at first I hadn't heard of it. I was like, wait, when this happened? So then I started reading the article and shit. I'm like, I'll be goddamn. They done really went out here and signed this motherfucker, man. For a 1-year deal, which means they don't really have like a commitment to him or whatever. They trying to figure out who they can get rid of to make room for Adrian Peterson. But truthfully speaking, man, I think this is because he signed with the Lions. And we've talked about, as much as the Lions is like my favorite team, and I grew up watching football as a Lions fan, mainly because they had Barry Sanders, right? But the fact that the Lions signed him just kind of speaks to like the ineptitude of, you know, the organization, because we've talked about this before on the show where the Lions don't necessarily have the greatest reputation around the league of taking care of their players. And so most of the guys who come to the Detroit Lions are coming there to get paid, not necessarily because they really want to play for the Lions. The team doesn't have the greatest fucking reputation around the league with the players of taking care of the players and actually putting out a product willing to win. And so, yeah, man, as much as you would talk about me supposedly wanting to be excited about the fact that they got Adrian Peterson, yeah, I'd have been excited about this shit 10 years ago. Today, I'm just like, man, what the fuck, bro? Like, really? Really? I'm not excited about this shit. I'm just saying this is the death knell for Adrian Peterson's career signing with the Detroit Lions, man. Real talk. Now, Stacey's in the chat room. I've been seeing Aaron in here like, yo, that nigga broke, B. He broke. He checking it right now. He broke. But Stacey in the chat, he's like, yo, he had a solid season last season. That's last season, Stacey.
He did.
That's last season, man. And if he had a solid enough season, why ain't the Washington team keep his ass? You know what I'm saying? Why ain't they keep him? They didn't see anything more for him either. You know, Stacey Dawson, he's like, it's a cost-saving issue. If he was on the roster week one, they would have paid him at least $8 million. He ain't worth the one right now.
Okay. Here's the deal. Only thing that matters is the numbers, right? Last season, he did have a solid season. And right now, he's only 1,000 yards from beating Barry Sanders all time on the list. He's only 1,000 away.
He's not okay? going to get it.
Now, I'm not saying that.
He's not going to get it. That's the other thing. He's not going to. On the Lions, he ain't getting it.
Is this Labor Day fan hating on the black man day?
No, nigga, I'm telling you. On the Lions, dude, he's probably the third best running back on that team right now at best. He's not going to get 1,000 yards this season. The Lions have a running back by committee situation going on there, man.
And I'm just I'm just putting out positivity. I like Adrian. Y'all need him. You need something. You need a prayer. Okay, I don't know what you need. You need a bucket of fried chicken. I don't know at the end of the day. All I know is the fact that y'all got Adrian Peterson.
Hey, man.
If he came to the Bears, I would be a happy man. Yeah, okay. I really would. I would.
You talking all this shit like y'all ain't got Mitch Trubisky as y'all quarterback. Fuck out of my face, man. Like you talking all
we're not talking about quarterbacks. We're not talking about
you talking about
we're not talking about
you talking about how trash Lions is.
Hold on.
You talking about how trash Lions is. Like Mitch Trubisky ain't y'all fucking starting QB, man. I'm gonna need you to shut that shit down. I'm gonna need you to shut the fuck up on this, man. Cause y'all about to be sitting around in the playoffs the same way we is. Y'all gonna be sitting at home watching them motherfuckers the same way we are.
We talking about Adrian Peterson right now. Okay, you keep on like veering off subject. Let's stick to the point right now. Nobody cares
y'all notice the nigga didn't refute what the fuck I was saying, right? He can't refute.
We talked about Adrian Peterson. That's what we talked about him. Adrian Peterson.
Got him.
And y'all gonna be last in the NFC North, so whatever.
I mean, truthfully speaking, though, Cliff, I wouldn't be expecting much more right now. Like, I'm not exactly high on the Lions right now. So you saying all this shit ain't hurting me. I'm more of a realistic fan. Like, yo, man, I don't really have that many expectations for my team this year. It is what it is. I didn't really expect us to be sitting up here actually contemplating football for the season. But here we are. You know what I'm saying? Here we are. But, nah, man, real talk. I just feel like I feel bad for Adrian Peterson. It's not hating on Adrian Peterson. I feel bad for Adrian Peterson that the place that he had to go to continue to play football was the Detroit Lions at this stage of his career because we know this is going to be the end for him. Like, this is going to be the end. Like, he's going to be a year. Think about this, man. He's going to be a running back a year older, 36 years old, and he's using his last season to play for the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, man. The place where career, like people's careers die here. They die here, bro.
He might have a breakout season for y'all, man.
Nigga,
you know, end it there.
At 36? No, it ain't happening. A 36-year-old running back in the NFL, man, it's not happening, B. Come on, man. Let's just keep it real.
I'm trying to be optimistic for
hey,
you.
Man, you ain't
this
got to be.
I'm doing this for you. This is all for you.
Listen, nigga, I'm going to tell you right now. You ain't doing it for me. It can't be for me because I'm telling you what it is. This nigga he wasting the last year of his career, man, playing with the Detroit Lions, man. And I say this as a Lions fan, man. AP, if you ever come across BNC Pod, this ain't it, bro. This ain't it. This ain't it. So, yeah, man.
What you got, man? I know you got something good.
Yeah, we gonna veer back into the NBA, man. So, there was a high profile head coach signing in the NBA. Steve Nash is the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, and apparently Stephen A. Smith is a bit upset with the fact that Steve Nash got the job. Let me pull this video up, man, so we can talk about this because Stephen A. was he was hot and bothered by this signing of Steve Nash going to the Brooklyn Nets. So let me pull this up so you guys can watch right along with me, with us. Hold on just a second. All right. Let's do this here. All right. Let's see what Stephen A. Smith talking about, man.
The Nets have hired a new head coach, and it's Hall of Fame point guard Steve Nash. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting this news. It's a 4-year deal for Nash. Interim coach Jacques Vaughn will stay on as an assistant. Here's part of GM Sean Marks' statement. And quote, "In Steve, we see a leader, communicator, and mentor who will garner the respect of our players." Stephen A., talk to me.
Max Kellerman, Molly, this is one of the toughest positions that I've ever had to take in my career on First Take. And here is why. I want to first state that Steve Nash has no coaching experience. But if you talk about an outlier, an individual that is just special on so many levels, it is Steve Nash. Not just as a player, but as mentorship to some degree with Steph Curry. The brothers that he has looked out for and supported when Quentin Richardson was his teammate and he took money off his plate to make sure Quentin Richardson got paid. When he had his man Steven Jackson, his former teammate, his teammate at the time, living with him and took him in and looked out for him. The respect that he has around the league, his smarts, his intelligence, his basketball IQ. Steve Nash is a sensational dude. And if anybody deserves this opportunity, absent the experience that obviously he has as a coach, it is him. It happened for Steve Kerr, who had never coached on any level before, but he took over Golden State, and look at the job that he's done. Steve Nash is widely respected and loved by a whole bunch of people in the NBA, black, white, and beyond. Congratulations to him. He deserves it. I get it. But this ain't about him, what I'm about to say. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way around this. This is white privilege. This does not happen for a black man. No experience whatsoever on any level as a coach. And you get the Brooklyn Nets job. I know that Kyrie and KD have both signed off on this. I know they both support this move. But I'm thinking about a champion that is Ty Lue, passed up. I'm thinking about a guy who built the foundation for the Golden State Warriors in Mark Jackson, passed up. I'm thinking about the years that Sam Cassell has served as an assistant, first in the nation's capital in D.C., and now with the Los Angeles Clippers, passed up. And it's for a guy, my God, one of the best guys you could possibly meet in your life. And may do a fantastic job, but a guy that has no experience whatsoever. In these times where we're making all of this noise about social justice, I got news for y'all, Molly and Max. I have said this to people on numerous occasions right here on this show. Yes, that was the tipping point. George Floyd's killing, his murder, you know, violence against black men who are unarmed. All of that stuff is true. But the frustration, the protest, and all of these things that you've seen in the streets throughout America emanating from the black community and disenfranchised communities is that proverbial glass ceiling and the fact that it breeds a level of frustration that we can't even put into words sometimes. You just want to scream to the high heavens. How the hell does this always happen for somebody else other than us? Why is it that we have to be twice as good to get half as much? Why is it that no matter what we do and how hard we work and how we go through the process and the terrain of everything, somehow, some way, there's another excuse to ignore that criteria, to ignore those credentials, and instead bypass it and make an exception to the rule for someone other than us? So I'm depressed right now because I have to bring that up. Because Steve Nash doesn't deserve it. I think Steve Nash is going to do a hell of a job in Brooklyn. I think that he's going to resonate with Kyrie and KD. And not only that, his record in terms of looking out for one brother after another. I love this brother, Steve Nash. He is a beautiful person, and I'm so happy for him just on its face. But when I take into account all that it entails, and I think about the black men that were passed up in Brooklyn, New York City. We got Thibodeau at Madison Square Garden, who's obviously highly respected and deserves it. And now we got Steve Nash, who has no coaching resume, but a lot of people believe in him, and they should. Yet again, we find ourselves looking at a situation as black people. You know what? Everything, as egregious as it is, to kill an unarmed black man, to shoot him, and things of that nature. There are a multitude of ways where black folks, particularly black men, have been sliced and diced up and thrown out to pasture. And if I'm Sam Cassell, if I'm Ty Lue, if I'm Mark Jackson and these boys, that's how I'm feeling right now when I heard the news that two superstars in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving signed off on this man being the new head coach in Brooklyn. I'm sure he's going to do a good job. I know Kyrie and KD ain't going to lose. I'm just saying, damn, as time changes, things remain the same.
All right. So I'm going to just ask, man, what do you think about what the fuck this man just said?
Well, I saw the – so I know me and you talked about this the other day. I saw the next rebut that he had towards the Nets GM. Because the Nets GM basically was saying that they had a lot of people on the list and blah, blah, blah. And there was no way this had anything to do with white privilege. And that is – I saw – Stephen A's response to what he said. First of all, sometimes Stephen A be way to the left. He got it right on the head. I mean, if I can honestly say Steve has a fan, the way he elaborated on his point was just fantastic. I mean, drop the mic all the way, drop the mic. I have a cousin right now who's in the NBA who is a first assistant. I'm not going to name his name and what team he's on, but he put on Facebook the day that Steve Nash got the job. Just crazy. He said the exact same way that Stephen A. feels. It is quite upsetting to a lot of people, and I'll say myself as well. I totally agree with what he's saying. Mark Jackson is the reason why Golden State is the way it is. He built that team, and then they booted him. Then Steve Kerr comes in, and he already had a very strong supporting staff. So, you know, Steve Nash is walking to the same type of situation to a degree. And, you know, I'm not, you know, as you already know, I'm not the biggest political dude. I don't care about all this stuff, but this definitely applies where you have qualified coaches out there who have a coaching resume and they just get, you know, looked past. And like he said, Steve Nash is a great person and a great player. But when it comes down to hiring the head coach of a possible championship team, like, let's just be real, you know, I saw something too that Booker might go to the Nets, but that's a whole other subject. They will have a very strong possibility of being one of the best teams in the East, period. No questions asked. And we haven't even seen them two dudes play together, let alone anybody else from the squad. DeAndre Jordan, the name of third. If you've never coached at all, no matter if you were a player, I don't see how you can automatically walk in the door and get CEO. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, it's really simple and black and white for me. So, you know, once again, everything Stephen A said, he hits it right on the head on everything. And I didn't. And actually, to tell you the truth, when I Googled Steve, he actually was like he wasn't even a coach on this team. I forgot what team it was. Maybe like a CBA type team or something like that. Maybe something out the country. I got to pull it back up. But, just for a year. That was it. He actually hasn't done anything else. So I don't know, man. You know, it's just another situation where, you know, like Stephen A said, they're going to make an excuse as why Stephen A was qualified for the job over everybody else. And you just got to, you know, you got to eat it. And I hate to say, you know, somebody like Stephen A who has to go on air and make himself look like the bad person to some people. And that's it. And that's it, man.
All right. So I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't necessarily agree with anything that Stephen A. Smith said. I thought Stephen A. was talking out of both sides of his mouth. to come out and first say that, like, you know, to talk about how great Steve Nash was as a person and how great his relationships were with the players and how many, you know, how many black players that he had, you know, looked out for. I thought that that kind of undercut his argument about whether or not Steve Nash deserved this job, because obviously Steve Nash had cultivated relationships amongst players in the league that would make a Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant open to the idea of Steve Nash getting a job with them to be the head coach. So I thought that was interesting that he would even open that up with like how great Steve Nash was as a person, right? Mm-hmm. The other part that I thought was interesting was that he kept talking about like black players or black coaches not getting these opportunities to be getting jobs with no head coaching experience whatsoever. Mark Jackson, when he got that job with the Golden State Warriors, had no head coaching experience anywhere. Magic Johnson, when he got that first head coaching job with the Los Angeles Lakers, had no head coaching experience anywhere. Isaiah Thomas, when he got that first job with
who'd you just say?
Magic Johnson.
Who was the first?
Mark Jackson. Okay. Mark Jackson. When Mark Jackson was the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, he wasn't a head coach anywhere else before that. Isaiah Thomas, when he got his first head coaching job with the Indiana Pacers, had never been a head coach anywhere before that. Magic Johnson, when he got his first head coaching job, had never been a head coach before that. Jason Kidd, when he got his first head coaching job with the New Jersey Nets at the time, had never been a head coach. He came straight from playing. So the idea that like black players, especially in the NBA, or like black coaches in the NBA haven't had opportunities to become coaches with no head coach experience whatsoever was bullshit. It just simply was. Like, cause I just rattled off like five names. So like the idea that like, yo, Steve Nash is getting his job as a result of white privilege. Like, honestly, when you look at the evidence and you look at like the other instances of this happening and it's black players who are given these opportunities, like, yo, like that was some BS. That was some bullshit. And so I think he tried to clean this up later on by saying, well, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be a championship caliber team. And so we've never had a black player or a black coach come in and be given the reins to a championship caliber team. You've never had any white dudes just walk into a whole like a championship caliber team like that either. It's not, it hasn't happened, dude. So, like, I think the problem with Stephen A. at this particular point is that sometimes Stephen A., because he is right now the face of ESPN, and, like, they got this dude on every fucking thing. He's on everybody's show. He's doing all of the fucking color, like, he's doing color commentary and shit for, like, the NBA games. Every now and again, you might see him talking about the NFL on NFL Live and shit. Stephen A. Smith, they getting their money's worth out of this dude, right? He's the face of ESPN at this point. But I think what's happening right now is Stephen A. found himself on the wrong side, so to speak, of the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, right? Because Stephen A. at a certain point became real critical of Colin Kaepernick and the movement behind Colin Kaepernick. What's your plan after this, right? Stephen A. was real big on what's the plan after this and being real critical of the kneeling movement in the NFL and what do they plan on getting from the NFL after this. And Stephen A. Smith caught a lot of flack for that, right? Some may say rightfully so. But I think right at this moment, like to come out and say that like, okay, so Steve Nash getting his job is a result of white privilege, totally negating the fact, as he's saying that Steve Nash has all of these relationships with these players and these guys who have some level of respect and trust for this guy. Like to come out and say that this is a white privilege hire and that like, yo, they passed up on Ty Lue. Ty Lue is a championship caliber coach. Yeah, true enough. True indeed. But you know who else did? There's a few teams that got openings or will have openings. Ty Lue, will, if he gets one of those jobs, more power to him. But that's not the Nets to just say, hey, man, we need to go out here and get Ty Lue. It's not the Nets, hey, man, we need to go out here and get Mark Jackson. There's going to be other coaching opportunities within the NBA. And so to have both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant say, hey, man, we open to having Steve Nash come coach over here. Those are the two dudes. Those are your star players, man. If you're not going to listen to your two star players who have to go out there and execute whatever the fuck it is Steve Nash writes up, if you're not going to listen to them, who the fuck else are you going to listen to? And so to me personally, I kind of believe, man, like this is somewhat of Stephen A. Smith trying to come back a little bit on some of that criticism that he was giving on the whole thing with Colin Kaepernick to try to level some of that shit off, because he was dead wrong in that. And to some degree, I feel like he's dead wrong in this. He's trying to overcorrect. I don't believe that because Steve Nash is white, this is the reason why Steve Nash got this job. I believe that because Steve Nash has relationships with a lot of NBA players, and also because Steve Nash was a great NBA point guard, is the reason why Steve Nash was considered for this job. And to reduce this to like, yo, it's because Steve Nash is white, truthfully, I think it's bullshit, bro. I do. I think it was bullshit for him to do that.
I don't think there was any conflicting nature with him talking about Steve Nash as a person versus if he's qualified to be a coach. I think, and then this is just me, I think you're blending that, and I think he was just giving him credit toward the fact that he is a good person. He has a lot of good connections with the players in the NBA. But when it comes to having a coaching resume, I swear to God, there's no way if I'm an owner of a team that if you've never coached before that I'm going to consider you. I don't care if you're Magic Johnson or Steve Nash.
But those are those are dudes who got coaching jobs having no coaching experience whatsoever.
Still minority. And I'm going to add this up that Stephen A. might not have said that he probably should say. You can bring up Jason Kidd and Isaiah and Magic. I get that. But over the grand scale of things, there are such small little pebbles in the scheme of things. That's not going to really cover the amount of coaches or the coaches that have coached the NBA as far as the ratio of black to white. It's not even going to touch it. Not even close. So at the end of the day, I definitely believe that there is a disparity. And if you don't think that there's a disparity, we can check the numbers right now as far as black coaches to white. And when it comes down to it, I think what Stephen A. is saying, this dude is not qualified to be a coach.
I'm saying
regardless of the fact that he has good relationships with the players. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree that you need to be able to have a great rapport. As athletes, you have to have a good rapport with your coach. If not, you know, you're going to bounce. But you also have to know how to coach. If you don't know how to coach, just because you were a player does not make you a great coach. Larry Bird sucked as a coach.
No, he didn't. Larry Bird, hold on. You said Larry Bird sucked as a coach. Larry Bird coached those Indiana Pacers to the Eastern Conference Finals against those Chicago Bulls that we rooted for to 7 fucking games. What are you talking about right now?
And guess what? That was it. He had a great team as well. But after that, it was dead. He was dead. Isaiah, dead. Just because you were a good player does not make you a good coach.
I've never said that just because you was a player made you a great coach.
I know.
But the point that I was making was he was talking as if Steve Nash doing this or this opportunity coming up for Steve Nash was an aberration, as if it had never happened before. And I can count Steve, not like as we talk about Larry Bird, not only just Larry Bird, but Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Doc Rivers, Doc Rivers first became a head coach. He had never coached any motherfucking where before. Jason Kidd. Like, we've had guys come up who hadn't coached anywhere else before. And so we've had at least five instances of this happening. So the idea that because Steve Nash gets this opportunity somehow negates these 5 other opportunities that have happened because Steve Nash is white is bullshit, man. If you're going to call the racism out on something that hasn't happened before, seriously. But you can't call
that's not a word. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
If you're going to call racism out, Cliff, you can't use an example where 5 black dudes have gotten an opportunity where they've coached NBA teams, having no fucking NBA coaching resume, having no college coaching resume, having no high school coaching resume. If you can have those 5 examples out there, and then you pull me this one motherfucking example of Steve Nash saying this right here is white privilege, is bullshit, and I'm not listening to you no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've given
and
up.
And listen, man, just because they give you a little piece of whipped cream on the cake, don't mean that. Oh, now we've justified it all.
It's not whipped cream on the cake, bro. That's not what
I'm saying. Not even close.
It's not exactly. Yeah, it's not even close. The point that I'm making is you got 5 different examples of dudes who've been given opportunities to coach in the NBA with no fucking experience whatsoever. And to point out this one to say that this is white privilege is bullshit, man. Especially in this league, of all leagues, in this league is crazy.
Most definitely in this league. There's still the balance is not equal. It's not. And here's the thing. I know that's going to a whole nother level of conversation. But first of all, let's just call it spade to spade. Stephen A. Smith's job is to have conversations, to create these type of conversations. He gets paid to tell you his opinion, right? Mm. And He didn't give anybody any statistics around that, that, whether or not if it happened before. He didn't even speak on that. He's speaking on the fact that right now in the league, it is qualified coaches with resumes who could have fulfilled those shoes, mm-hmm. and they skipped over him. Okay. That's what he was saying.
Okay.
He didn't say that it never happened before.
Okay, but here's my point, though, Cliff. When Isaiah Thomas got that job with the Indiana Pacers, there were qualified coaches that could have taken that job. When Magic Johnson was taking that job with the LA Lakers, there were qualified coaches who could have taken that job. When Jason Kidd got that job with the Nets, there were qualified coaches who could have taken that job. When Doc Rivers mm-hmm. got his first job, there were qualified coaches who could have taken that job. So the idea is ludicrous on his face when you got these examples sitting out here, bro. When you got these examples sitting out here, you can't just make this a racism thing when that's not what it is, bro. I honestly believe though, because of the relationships that Steve Nash has been able to cultivate within the league, and because he's so well liked, and because these mm-hmm. players respect Steve Nash, that's what made that job, or at least that's what made the hiring of Steve Nash palatable to a guy like a Kevin Durant and a Kyrie Irving. That's what made the job. That's what made hiring him palatable to them. Had he not been that guy, had he not been as well liked, had he not been as good a player as he was, we probably aren't even having this conversation. But I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that Steve Nash is white. I just don't.
Okay. The thing is, you keep bringing up these past situations, and we're not negating that. Not one time did Stephen A. say it did not ever happen. That's not what he
that's
say
exactly
that one time.
What the fuck he said. That's exactly what he said, Cliff.
He did not say it never happened before.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
I don't recall him saying that. But to my point is this. Derek, I steal your girl, Fisher. Boy, you was a fool for that one. Here, I want to throw something else in. In today's time, the sensitivity to anything, right? To anything where it has to deal with like the black and white lines, it is going to be injected with like a steroid and just blown up, right or wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying that back in the day they didn't hire coaches who weren't able to coach, who didn't have a resume. I'm not saying that. I never even brought that up. That makes no difference to me. I think right now, I think one thing that he said that was on the next show that they aired was, if you look at the history of coaches and players in the league, it's more black players and less black coaches. Mm-hmm. And his thing is, there should be some balance there.
Okay.
There should be some balance. And at the end of the day, it's not. You can bring up Magic, and I'm just going to just bring up the black coaches that you named, Jason Kidd, Magic, Isaiah, Doc Rivers. It is not even a drop in the bucket. That's really simply where I'm coming from at the end of the day.
Okay.
If you want to really create some balance there, it's like, yeah, Steve Nash is mad-like, but I guarantee you there are some other black old players at the end of the day, because they all players who are as well-liked as Steve Nash. And at the end of the day, you know, to me, you know, the players are the ones that are making the decisions in the back office nowadays, because they're the ones, like you said, they gotta play that play through, mm-hmm. you know. But Stephen A. definitely, when it comes to, Aaron has got a good point. I think there is an issue with black coaches, but you can't lay this. I don't think it's Steve Nash's fault, and that's why I think it's very important that the next episode that Stephen A. actually commented on, he actually went a little bit deeper and a little bit more specific as far as more
ideas he was talking about,
and he was saying it's more systematically.
Yeah,
and I totally agree.
Yeah, even with that, I thought it was like, because he tried to clean it up. What he did do was try to clean it up. He started talking about having an opportunity to coach a championship squad. And truthfully speaking, there's not a whole lot of instances where like a championship caliber squad has a coaching mm-hmm. opening happening. Like it's just not a whole lot of motherfucking examples of a championship caliber team having a coaching vacancy as soon as they're like on the cusp of winning anything. Right. So like,
I agree.
So like there's like, he tried to clean it up in that way, but the point that I'm making is, although there are, like, you know, as we talk about, like, the level of NBA coaches and how many of them are white and how many that are black in comparison to the, how many black players are in the NBA, like, I think the point that we're making, like, the thing that we're really talking about here, though, are coaches who have had opportunities to coach in the NBA having had no prior coaching experience. And that was the thing. That was the thing he held his hat on. He was like, yo, Steve Nash is getting this opportunity having had no prior coaching experience. And when we start talking about the guys who have had no prior coaching experience getting NBA head coaching jobs, vast majority of those dudes have been black. They've been great NBA players who've gotten those jobs. So you got Jason Kidd. You got Isaiah Thomas, you got Magic Johnson, you got Doc Rivers, you've got Mark Jackson. These are guys who have taken NBA head coaching jobs, having had no prior NBA, having had no prior coaching experience whatsoever, right? That's the distinction, is the fact that these guys have been taking jobs having no coaching experience. And this, and the fact that he would say, well, like, you know, he's getting this opportunity with a team that is on the cusp of winning an NBA championship or a championship caliber team. How many opportunities like that have ever been available to anybody? To anybody. And how many opportunities like that have been available where the two stars of that team are like, yo, this is the guy we want. So to make this about white privilege is like, yo, man, like, you kind of like reducing this to something that it really didn't have to go to. Because truthfully speaking, this is about two star NBA players who were like, yo, this guy was also a star NBA player who we also have a good relationship with, who has great relationships with guys around the league, who think that, like, yo, this might be what we need to get us over the top, right? I don't know. I don't think this has anything to do with the fact that Steve Nash is white, especially when you got even Stephen A. Smith conceding that this doesn't have anything to do with Steve Nash. This ain't got nothing to do with, like he's conceding all of this. So, like, to even bring this shit up, it's like, hey man, which way do you want it? You can't have it both ways.
Because he doesn't. He's not discrediting Steve Nash. He's not discrediting him as a person. He's not even saying it's Steve Nash's fault. He's saying it's the system. That's what he's saying. So he wants to give Steve Nash his props. But I definitely you know, understand that. But you know, honestly, and I actually, it's so funny. I was talking to my dad about this. You could almost apply this idea to so many different things. You know, you really can. But, you know, for me and the way I look at it, you know, I hope Steve Nash takes KD and Kyrie all the way. I really hope he does. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to ask my cousin to see if he would want to come on the show and give his opinion, because you're talking about somebody who's in it. How do you want it? He would have a great opinion on the subject matter, because he definitely knows way more insight than me and you do. And I'm gonna shoot him a text to see what he says. But
yeah, man, that'd be dope. I'm gonna see if I can reach out to as a matter of fact, one of my high school partners, man, we used to play JV basketball in Detroit. Is an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. To reach out to him and see if he would be willing to come on and kind of talk about this. But, yo, man, I just kind of feel like Stephen A. was reaching on this. I get that Stephen A., like, you know, he's paid to have, like, the hot take and to get people talking and everything else. But I really believe that Stephen A. Smith was reaching like a motherfucker on this particular thing right here. Like, I get that you agree with him, but I think he was reaching harder than Stretch Armstrong, bro. I really do. But
real quick, just a small little, tell me why Jason Hayward with the Cubs might have COVID.
I just
saw it on the
See?
Oh God. Whatever. He ain't going to no strip clubs here, that's for sure.
Hey man. We know that the Miami Marlins went to the strip club. We know that's what they was doing. That's how they got it. We know what they was doing. We gonna find out what he was doing later. But we know that. We know that's what they was doing, man. But yo, man, I got some more shit. If you want to talk about some more shit,
let's get it.
So we got another story, man. Let's see. So apparently, Major college coaches appear to be using the Black Lives Matter movement for recruiting purposes, man. Hey, so I'm going to read this story. This comes out of Forbes. It says, this hugging of the Black Lives Matter movement by college coaches is fine, especially since it beats their previous stance of silence in such matters. But the whole thing is getting ridiculous. Other words come to mind. Pandering. Disingenuous. Let's just say it. Convenient. North Carolina's Roy Williams became the latest to realize the best recruiting tool these days is to stare into a camera for social media purposes while declaring you're against folks still fighting for the Civil War. During this Williams anchor video featuring Michael Jordan and other North Carolina basketball greats, Williams began by telling viewers that the iconic Tar Heels coach Dean Smith was his mentor. Then Williams mentioned how Smith spent 1966 becoming the ACC's Abraham Lincoln or something by changing college basketball dramatically, particularly in the South, by making Charlie Scott the first black athlete to ever get a scholarship at the university. Duke, located 11 miles away from Chapel Hill in Durham, and the Blue Devils turned C.B. Claiborne into their first black player to receive a scholarship. That was in 1965, a year before Williams suggested his mentor free black players to spend future generations dribbling North Carolina and other teams to the NCAA tournament that Forbes determined now has the most profitable postseason television deal in sports. The NCAA gets an average of $771 million a year from CBS and Turner Broadcasting for March Madness, and that number will increase to $1.1 billion from 2025 to 2032. Duke and North Carolina have contributed heavily to those paydays for the NCAA and its member schools, while Forbes calculated that Duke was the fourth most valuable basketball program in the country heading into the last season. With a three-year average revenue of $33.1 million, North Carolina was 11th with a three-year average of $24.8 million. You generate big bucks in college basketball for your program by winning often, and you do that by recruiting as many studs as possible. Coaches have done that by any means necessary. Now, they're talking about the finances of college basketball and how much money they've generated for the NCAA and college sports. But are you surprised at all? is anybody surprised at all? They're like, hey, man, we need to get in front of this, man. Like, the Black Lives Matter movement is hot. Hey, man, let these kids know that we down with the BLM. We down with the cause, baby. Power to the people. Like, does this surprise anybody? Does this surprise anybody, man?
This is sales. It's just sales. Sales 101, man. I mean, do I agree? Not so much. But, you know, they're doing it because they need the players. They need their skill and their talent. And at the end of the day, you know, just imagine how many more lies they used to tell before Black Lives Matter movement, you know, was going on, you know. So, to me, it's funny, you know, because honestly, the kid is going to go to where he wants to in the first place if he's, you know, a blue chip.
Yeah.
So that's just trying to get his mama to be like, yeah, you know, he with us. You know, you can care less.
Now, it reminds me of, you remember Blue Chips?
As I just said, yeah.
So
we need a tractor and a bag of $400,000.
No. So it reminds me of like when Coach went to see Butch McRae. And, you know, and he went to Butch McRae's crib, and Butch McRae's mama was like, so basically, look, nigga, I need to move up out of here. You know what I'm saying? My people need a house with a lawn and everything. And I need a job, you know, because I got qualifications and everything, and these people won't hire me. And they made sure to get her a house with a lawn. As a matter of fact, the Boots was like, she got a house with a lawn. He was mad. He was real mad about that because Butch didn't want to stay at Western, right? But, yo, man, like, the pandering that Coach would do. So, like, he go to the south side of Chicago and start talking about how Catholic he is because Butch McRae was a Catholic, right? He was going to a Catholic school. But then he goes to talk to, what's the white boy's name? I forget the white boy's name in that movie. But he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist, you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up Baptist. He's like, First Baptist or Southern Baptist? He's like, First Baptist, of course. We'll take too kindly about the Mother Baptist around here, you know what I'm saying? So like,
pulled out that pump action.
Is pandering 101, man. Like, nobody's really surprised that they're doing this, but the fact that like I really do hope that some of these kids who are going through this recruiting process right now can see through a lot of this bullshit, man. Like, the fact that the coach would be like, yeah, you know, so, you know, Dean Smith was, you know, he integrated, you know, Division I sports here in the South and shit. And like, Black Lives Matter, like, all right, man, we know you wanted us to play down there, but goddamn, man, like, you ain't got to.
Dean fried chicken every day for all his black players.
Yeah. scared, man. So, yeah, that was something that I had in my pocket, man. It was another story that we had here, too. But you know what? I'm going to say that for my wing. Damn, it's
too... Go ahead, wing it then.
Hold on, we're going to go back to baseball. No, you know what? I'm going to say that for later. That's for later. We're going to go ahead and wing it, man. We're going to get on up out of here.
Let's do it.
Let's go ahead and wing it. There we go.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on this week, Cliff?
The disrespect that LeBron did to Westbrook twice in the one game.
Like, leaving that nigga out there for that three?
Like, you what you say?
Like, leaving him out there for that three? Like, you a self-check, dog. Like, I ain't going out there for that bullshit.
No, I'm talking about the two blocks. One of them was just disrespectful. I mean, LeBron saw him from a mile away. He blocked the ball so just... The level of get your dumb ass out of here was just insane. You know, Westbrook didn't even know what happened to the ball. That's what was what he said. What the who just? Oh, it's you. And then later on, he just put it on the backboard. Like, dude, I told you don't. You see this right here? You see this? Don't come in here. Okay, you stay over there. I was in tears. I'm sorry. You know. And the thing is, I know we've had this conversation before. Westbrook is mad talented, but it's LeBron James, Jack. It's LeBron James, and he will hunt you down. And he did it twice. And I was just like, well, they took the L, but that game. But still, whew, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. Is all I'm saying. That's my wing.
All right, I hear you. Oh man, it's been a while, man. It's been a long while since I've winged it on this particular individual. But they make another motherfucking entry into the wing of the section, man.
Oh god. Oh, I know what you about to talk about. Go ahead.
LaVar Ball.
I even know what you about to talk about.
Man.
Everybody who's watching, get your cocktail.
Nigga.
You know, light a candle.
Nigga. So apparently
I'm relaxing.
Big Baller Brand couldn't keep LaMelo Ball into the motherfucking fold, man.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. We get this story here out of USA Today. It says LaMelo Ball pulled off a surprising move last week by leaving the Big Baller Brand to join Puma. Puma. Fucking Puma, yo. As one of the top sneaker free agents on the market, Ball likely commanded an impressive figure in inking his deal with Puma. But given both how little buzz there was about Ball taking offers from brands and his connection with Big Baller Brand, the news was entirely unexpected. LaVar Ball, the outspoken founder of BBB and the father of the Ball Boys, had been stubborn in his approach to working with other brands, memorably putting the starting price for a family shoe deal at $1 billion. Not million, billion with a B. LaVar Ball joined Complex full-size run to talk a host of things, including his thoughts on LaMelo joining Puma. There's not a thing where I'm like, hey, man, don't sign with Puma. Don't do this. I'm just letting y'all know I'm here for y'all. So when this thing don't go the way you want it, your MB1 stuff is still over here for y'all. G3 is still over here. ZO2 stuff is still over here. Yeah, it's still over there because ain't nobody buying that shit. I'm still over here with the Big Baller Brand because we're a family brand. There are representations that me and my wife have for our boys, and that's always going to be that, and it's not a big deal with you doing other things. It's okay, but you're always going to be affiliated with Big Baller Brand no matter what. I'm going to tell you this right now, man. I'm excited for these kids, man. I'm excited for LaMelo. I'm excited for Lonzo and the other brother that didn't make it. I'm excited for them only because, like, this has been my biggest beef with them from the beginning. Like, Pops, ain't nobody coming here to see you, bruh. You ain't got to go out there and play ball and them in that shit, man. Like, ain't nobody coming to see you. Like, and so the Big Baller Brand was LaVar Ball's attempt to be out in the spotlight back based on the back of his kids producing out on the floor. And so the fact that LaMelo is exerting his motherfucking independence, the fact that Lonzo, for a minute now, has exerted his independence away from that, I'm happy for them, man. Because for a long time, they daddy was trying to be the motherfucking star of this shit. And they daddy wasn't out there going out and performing. They daddy didn't have to go out there and be on these floors doing it. They was getting targeted because of shit they daddy said, yo. Like, can you imagine that? Like, yo, hey, man, I want to bust your ass because your daddy been talking so much shit. Like, yo, man. Big baller brand. For any of y'all who ever paid, like, for those of you who have spent like $400 or $500 on some ZO2s, I feel sorry for you. A fool and their money shall surely part. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, man, I'm just excited for LaMelo to get away from that. I hope the boy does well. I've always had like positive vibes for the kids, man. And they never been directed at the kids. It's they daddy, man. They fucking publicity seeking ass daddy. Get the fuck out the way, bro. Let them boys do their thing, man. Stop trying to step in the fucking, be all up in the videos, be all up in the studio dancing. Come to motherfucking Puma. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, that's what I'm winging it on, man. Ain't no motherfucking big baller brand without the baller boys, man. Ain't no big baller brand without the baller boys. And right now, LeVar Ball out here, like, he got all the inventory in the garage, bro, because ain't nobody buying that shit. Ain't nobody buying that shit, so.
You hate him. You hate him. Every time you, I'm gonna take a note of this. You've winged it on LeVar Ball
at least six
in the
times.
70-plus episodes.
At least six times.
At least five
at
times.
At least six times. I'm giving you six. At least six times.
Hey, LeVar, if you ever watch The Being Chicken, hey, it's all love.
Hey, man.
Okay?
Hey, man, listen. No, it ain't all love. No, it ain't all love, man.
It's
step your
love.
Fuck ass back, man. Give your kids time to shine, man. Stop trying to be all up in the motherfucking videos, bro. Let them kids do what they got to do, man. Stop trying to be the motherfucking star, bro. You ain't did shit on the floor with them. Like, they got to go out there and produce, bro. I get it. You're a black father. You involved. And niggas try to hold you up as this involved-ass black father. And you got two sons in the NBA. That's great, bro. Be happy in that. You ain't got to be the star, though. Let them shine, man. Let them boys shine. Damn.
For the record, the wing is supposed to be 2 minutes.
Hey, man.
It's been like,
hey, this
it's been
our,
like 14.
Hey, this This our show. We create our own rules, nigga. We create our own rules. But yeah, I'm done with my wing.
That's funny.
I'm done with my wing. You wasn't supposed to say shit during my wing either, but you talking, nigga. That's what I'm saying. Like, the wing is
after 2 minutes. We make our own rules up, right?
You know what I'm saying? There we go. It's time for us to get on the body here, y'all. But before we do, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and letting your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up our hotline, man, at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show, and we will respond to you in kind. And if you're watching us live here on Facebook, YouTube, or Periscope, you can chop it up with us live, too, when you call that hotline, man. But you got to hit us up at area code 313-288-0485. You can also hit us up on our email here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and replied to here live as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And they can follow you where, Cliff?
DJ Neff Music on Twitter and the gram.
Nigga, was that like a commercial?
You see it.
Hold on.
You see it.
Was that like a commercial, though? Like, you turned and looked at the camera like, ah. Okay, Empire Carpet ass nigga. But yo, follow Cliff and me on Instagram and Twitter at those handles. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast specifically. Also, if you're listening to us via CastBox, leave us comments there. Or if you're leaving comments on YouTube, man, we'll read those YouTube comments here as well, man. Real talk. But it is time for us to get on up out of here. We'll talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace out.
Shout out Jim Harbaugh.